I have a question about the parami, because we know it's helpful to reflect a lot on the parami, and we know only the bodhisattva perfected the parami. So can one say it's just like reflecting on any kinds of understanding the value of reflecting on any kinds of kusala to understand different kinds of kusala more precisely, no aim to develop or to fulfill or anything, just to understand.
Reflecting is thinking about.
Right.
So it depends on who is thinking about what.
Depends on whether there's any understanding or development.
For example, when there is metta develops or accumulated, do we have to think about metta barami at that very moment of being friendly?
Also, another question is, someone mentioned on our discussion this about the importance of chanda in fulfilling the paramis. Could you say anything about
because
the importance?
It's not loba.
Right. So can one say that the chanda is so important for fulfilling or developing paramis for the for the bodhisattva, that chanda is the key or leads.
Or since it's obvious, since it's obvious, one can know one's own chanda, but one cannot know the viriya and other things. But viriya also mentioned somewhere too.
Yeah,
so it does mean that only chanda.
Okay, yeah. But chanda is more obvious.
As much as we can know our own chanda.
Are the characteristics of chanda and lopa similar?
One is kusala and one is not kusala. So when one has chanda to do good deeds like giving things, and one clings to giving.
Follow each other very closely. Or like at the holy places, chanda and lopa.
All that. It has three. It can be neutral, it can be good, it can be evil.
Could you talk a little bit about the difference between compassion and pity? I think a lot of us, as we walk the streets of India, it's very evident all the poverty around us, and especially when we see so many maimed bodies. And it for me, it's sometimes a little confusing as what's really arising.
Between compassion
and pity, feeling sorry for them.
Mm-hmm. One is wholesome and the other is unwholesome.
Mm-hmm.
So the unpleasant feeling cannot arise with wholesomeness.
With wholesome. Uh-huh.
So
there's
one
no
can,
aversion
yeah.
with the compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible to have one moment of compassion to arise and then the next you pity?
Yeah.
How can you tell the difference when they're arising? Mm-hmm. How can you tell the difference between whether it's pity or it's compassion?
I think after there's thinking about it. For me, initial when you see visible object on you and you're just present with it, and then pity will come in and you begin to think. Oh,
it seems to me the compassion. When for me anyway, I think when pity arises, there's not the same feeling as when compassion arises. There's a feeling when compassion arises.
There's nothing sad or sorrowful about compassion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
pity.
It's not
no
pity.
Unpleasant feeling.
Right.
No
mm-hmm.
nothing. No feeling sad or sorry at all.
Right.
It's light.
Yeah.
Is there any feeling of to be sympathize?
Sympathize?
Yes. When there is that moment
of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It accompanies compassion, that feeling of sympathizing
to
with
be
them.
Friendly and sympathize
and sympathetic, yeah. Mm-hmm. To their cause.
Understanding.
So when pity comes in, then what begins too is mana. Oh, not like me, I'm so fortunate to
anything,
be in the West.
Anything can arise.
Anything,
yeah.
With can in the pity.
Yeah. So if that thought arises, the next thought, where you say, because I know many times on the bus, that thought arose for me all the time practically. You know, you see all of these terrible conditions that our mind has created as into the concepts of it that appear to be so akusala to us. And the thought, oh, constantly rising.
We're not
lucky, mm-hmm. to be born, you know, in a better condition than having been born, than being born there, and that all of that is just akusala.
So in compassion, there's no judgment whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just a total acceptance.
Exactly.
Being friendly.
And friendly.
Too. Yeah.
So you've mentioned a couple of times now about one is kusala, one is akusala. Is there a characteristic of kusala,
mm-hmm.
general,
yeah.
as opposed to akusala? And, well, because I feel that for myself there's very little understanding of the difference between kusala and akusala in these
Do you have
situations.
To call it? Name it?
Well, no, you don't have to name it, but I'm just wondering if you can say anything about the general characteristic of kusala versus akusala.
Yeah. As it can be known just by direct awareness,
yes.
we just talk
yes.
about we have many akusala the whole day,
right.
but when and what,
yes.
see?
Yes. Well, I think we have a lot of what I would call low-level akusala the whole day. I mean, also not so low, but even when it seems like there's no akusala there, I'm sure there's a low level of akusala. And I'm sure the moments
but
of kusala...
But many moments.
That were little.
But there must be, even now, because we're discussing Dhamma, presumably there must be some kusala moments also. And I'm sure lots of our kusala at the same time.
Assumably.
Yeah. Well,
well, if it's not, there must be awareness directly.
Yes. And then if there's no direct awareness, then the difference is not apparent, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. So fast.
Right.
So even in the moment of dana, this is a kusala moment, and the next moment could follow.
Only when there
kusala.
Is awareness,
yeah.
of a characteristic of a reality, then one can say that that is known as it is.
Then it's a kusala.
Kusala or akusala
or
can
kusala.
Be known by direct awareness,
uh-huh.
only.
It seems like this direct awareness is the most important of all, so
mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk a little bit more on that, about the development of it. I mean, you always bring us back, we can't know kusala from akusala unless we have direct awareness, so how do we do that?
Develop understanding of a characteristic at a time. Because there are only six doorways, not more than that, and they are not appearing.
Yes, but how?
That's the problem. All six
how?
Appear at the same time.
No, I just want...
Not how, otherwise it's you, not the understanding. But this is the way to eliminate the idea of self. And finally, it will eradicate the wrong view of self by understanding the characteristic of each doorway, little by little. So the first thing is to understand the moments with awareness and the moment without awareness, to know that it's only that moment is the island in the ocean.
Oh, that's a good one.
Ajahn, it seems to be easy to be aware of the moments of awareness when we know, oh, we were aware. But after, it appears that when we are aware of the moments we are unaware,
it's because it's we, not the awareness itself. Mm-hmm.
But then that becomes the thinking, isn't it? Or can awareness be aware that it's unaware?
I am aware, or awareness arises, is different.
But I think what Shanti is saying is that in order to know the difference between, thank you. In order to know the difference between moments when there's awareness and moments when there's not awareness, there's the experience which then builds the diff, you know, you can then start, but it's a thinking process often afterwards that comes in, and that, I mean, that's then the long moments of thinking that come in, but there's only ever the experience of awareness and the experience of moments, many, many, many moments without awareness that will differentiate between those two.
So is it thinking then that thinks about the unawareness, or is it awareness that is aware of the unawareness?
When we talk about awareness at level of satipatthana, mm-hmm. there must be a characteristic of which sati is aware. For example, hardness. Mm-hmm. We touch and we experience hardness many times a day. But whenever there is awareness, unexpectedly, it's aware. So there is the understanding that it's different from moment when there is touching in the day without awareness. As soft as very, how do you say, thin or slight moment.
But if, can we use the example of the teacup? If there's clearly a difference when we take the teacup, we're aware, we're drinking.
And
this is thinking, of course, but the actual experiencing of it. And then there's the feeling that we have that we were unaware when we take the teacup and we're so busy talking and now it's knocked. Mm-hmm. So we say, ah, man, I was so unaware. I was not there.
So after the awareness has arisen and fallen away, there is unawareness as normally in daily life. Very common. So you know the difference between and no attachment to that moment.
No attachment, yes, that's a key.
This is the way to develop with non-attachment.
But it is thinking then that thinks
it can
about.
Be anything after. Mm-hmm. But you know the difference when awareness arises and when it does not arise.
What about when you're knocking over the cup of tea carelessly? Can there be awareness during those moments, even when one's knocking it over?
Yeah, I think then, of course, then that's the Zen stick that I think maybe the Japanese teachers talk about. Here's the stick, and that wakes you up, and awareness can arise. Yes, of course.
No. You call it awareness, or is the awareness which is aware?
It's the awareness which is aware.
So there must be some little understanding of that characteristic, that it's different from other moments. And at that very moment, in reality, there is no body, no world at all, no sight, no sound, only hardness is there with the reality, which is the namatato, which experiences it. So no me. Even right now, when there is awareness of softness or hardness, there is no thing at all in the world, no world. And as this is true, even by intellectual understanding, when it's developed, the vipassanayana experiences it like this, but with much more understanding, not just thinking about it. But it has to be nowhere, nothing, no one, just the element which experiences softness or hardness.
So is it correct to say that we, as you use your words, we're so caught up in the ocean of concept, and the arahat is in the reality of experiencing? Is this a difference between us and the arahat?
Because one, no, the understanding is there, or there is no understanding at all. And when one knows that there is very little understanding, because there is only very few moments of being aware of hardness or softness, mm-hmm. because after that, lots of moments hard. Without understanding again. So by knowing this, it can condition the awareness of other objects until there can be the understanding of realities as they are.
Can we call it anusati when the right awareness comes and aware of the unawareness moment that happened?
It's there, no matter you call it what. When isati is sati.
What is anusati?
Anu means
anusati.
Literally, what does it mean?
Often, the recollecting, often. Anu.
What is the word?
Often.
Anu, often. Anu, anu is often. Or following after the object. Again and again.
Repeatedly.
Anu.
So just following on the comment about the arahant, who also has conceptual thinking, but we wouldn't say, I suppose, that he lives in a sea of concepts, because there's no clinging to the concept or no wrong
he
thinking
understands.
About it. He understands.
He understands.
When, well, can I just ask this question? What is the understanding about concepts that is developed with the development of awareness? Or could we say it's only understanding about thinking that is developed and not understanding of concepts as such?
Concept of what?
Well, the sea of concepts that we live in.
Without understanding? Oh,
yeah.
With understanding
well,
of concepts.
Well, that's my question. When there is understanding, does understanding understand the concepts?
Understand
the
what's concept and what is not.
What is and what is it? That's it. That is that the same as saying understanding thinking as
mm-hmm.
thinking?
Yeah.
Yes.
So one knows when is concept
yes.
and when is not.
Yes.
So would it be correct to say understanding truth? What is truth? What is the true nature?
We can use any term.
Yeah, any term.
Yeah.
You've mentioned a lot on the trip about understanding leading to detachment from clinging to realities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand that it is important not to cling to realities, but I also have the idea that it is understanding the nature of realities that leads to less clinging about them. Can that
by knowing,
by knowing
the true nature of
the true nature as they are.
Yeah.
Because if they are anatta and anicca, then they are not worth clinging
mm-hmm.
to. When we talk about the ads handles,